See? It goes together. You can't do it by... To know, tell me some things about... John. Yes. About your life in Europe.
Hmm?
Your life in Europe.
My life?
Where were you born?
Oh, yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in a small town, Ruzhanka.
Okay.
In Russia.
Yeah.
It was a Pale of Settlement. But after the Pale of Settlement, it came Bielorussia, White Russia.
Okay.
What city? What city or town?
It's Ruzhanka.
Ruzhanka.
R-O-Z-A-N-K-A.
Was it near Minsk?
A city of 1,100 people.
Was it near Minsk?
Five streets. One street consisted of Gentiles only. They lived it separately. Five streets were Jewish, all Jews. There were three synagogues. One synagogue was made of wood. We used it only for the summer. The other synagogue was a brick synagogue. The Ruzhanka burned down three times, but my house survived. How come it survived? We had a general store. We had a lot of buckets. We lived near a river, and a lot of people, you know, my father knew a lot of people. He gave out 100 buckets, and they made a chain line to the river. The river was maybe 500 meters, that's all. And they carried the buckets, and we had a straw roof. We lived at a ranch type home long. What was the ranch type? Six rooms we had in front, where we lived, three bedrooms only. So people slept, you know, like, I'm one of nine. One of nine.
Whoa, okay.
We had the six rooms, then we had a store attached to it, a general store. It was considered of metals, you know,
mm-hmm.
and food, textile, everything, a general store. After the store, it was a long, very long store, we had a cow. We had to milk,
yeah.
because nobody sold milk there. There was no, like, market, like ShopRite. And then we had a horse. And then I used to go to, I was a boy of 10, 11, I would milk the cow and take the horse to the field without a saddle. We didn't have a saddle because it was too expensive.
Joe, did you know when you were living there, did you experience any anti-Semitism?
Not except, no.
No, none. Okay. Have you ever experienced it?
Oh, I experienced anti-Semitism in Vilnius. It's the capital of Lithuania, where I went to gymnasium.
Yeah?
Yeah, but not in Ruzhanka.
Okay, but at the gymnasium you did. How did you experience
it? It was a mixed Gentile, you know, always, but they didn't bother me.
Oh, okay.
I went to a small town to visit my aunt, and then there was some Jewish couple went to Grodno to a dance, and they got into a fight, and he stabbed a Gentile person. And that what caused, you know, in other towns, too, in the town I went to visit, they threw stones and this and that. And I am a fighter. I went to Novogrodek. It's Lithuania. Now, I went there to the governor, and I wrote a letter, a complaint, that hooligans or anti-Semites attacked me. They attacked not only me, they threw stones. They were drinking people with me. We had good times, but after when this happened, they killed the Gentile person in the other city. They attacked the Jews.
Wow. Wow. Joe, can you tell me a little bit about your Hebrew education? Your education?
Hebrew education, you're jumping.
You're Jewish? Yeah, I'm jumping around.
First, I'm going to tell you, I went to Cheder.
Yeah.
I went to a Cheder, okay? Then I went to Lida Yeshiva. Lida a Yeshiva for 2 years. My sister got married in Bialystok. I went to Bialystok to live there for 6 years. And what did I do? I went to Tachkimoni. Tachkimoni is a rabbinical school. I went for...
Good, wow.
I went for 6 years there. And then I decided not to be a rabbi. I went to gymnasium, Seligman, called. It's a private school. I went there for 2 years, and 2 years I decided to go to Vilna. Vilna is the capital of Lithuania now. I went to gymnasium there, and I finished up. I had a matura, they examined me, writing and this and that, and with the matura I went to Israel as a student.
Okay. That's where you learned to speak Hebrew?
No, I had a background.
You already had it.
I had a background. My family, we had a private teacher who used to come to our home and taught all the children.
Was your family well off?
Hmm?
Was your family well off?
Yes.
They were. What did your father do?
Hmm?
What did your business was your father?
A general store.
The general store. And your mother's?
But my father also built houses.
Okay.
He built the police station, he built the school, you know,
yeah.
And we had 4 acres, 2 front acres and 2 in the back. And in the back we had a big, gate all around, and we had chickens and geese and ducks and on the side near the fence all around we had gooseberries, raspberries, all kind of trees, like an orchard, but not an orchard per se. It was a tree, a plum tree was in the corner, a peach tree was there, and it was a fascinating house.
Who else was in your family?
We were the richest people in town.
Who else lived there? Who else in your family was living there?
Well, I was one of 9.
Right.
I told you.
Right.
My brother, they accused him of being a communist, the Poles.
Yeah.
And he was in danger to be arrested. So he escaped to Lithuania. We were on the border of Lithuania too. Mm-hmm. And Russia and Belarusia. So he escaped to Lithuania, and from there I went to Argentina. My other brother, Morris, he didn't want to stay and be a shopkeeper. It's a little town. We had Tevye, the Bilhaker, the fiddler on the roof, on a Tevka.
Yeah.
So we had the Hebrew teacher, or the teacher who came, the modern guy, who is against the Russians, and then they sent him to Siberia. I got to see Fiddler on the Roof every time it plays any place. Mm-hmm. I saw it in Yiddish, I saw it in Polish, I saw it in Russian, I saw it in English, I saw it in German, and in Hebrew too.
And it's all the same.
In Italia, Hebrew.
And it's all the same, right?
No.
But
the reason I go to listen to Fiddler on the Roof, she sings a song to father when she leaves for Siberia to join her husband.
Yeah.
They sit on a bench. Father listens, and she takes, farewell, and she sang this song, I don't know the words. It made me cry every time I listen to this song. The daughter sings to her father a farewell party. I saw it in Arden. You know, they eat food and you watch was Fiddler on the Roof too. I cried there too. We took we had neighbors, Manuel and Yobel, the Spanish people. We took them, we honored them, you know. We bought the ticket. So we went all together the last time I saw Fiddler on the Roof.
Good. I loved it too.
Huh?
I loved that, the play and the music. It was wonderful.
I'm telling you.
Can you tell me about how you came to Wilmington and what you've done while you've been living here?
Oh, you're jumping there. There's nothing.
Go ahead. You go on. Tell me more. Tell me more about
that. Oh, you want me to talk?
Talk about your family. Talk about whatever.
Oh, yeah. So this is the two brothers.
Yeah.
One of my sisters, Tanya, she married in Bialystok. She went to an eye doctor, and then she met a guy by the name Leon Sirotek, and they got married. And because she got married, she invited me to stay with her. So I stayed with her, and I went to Tachkimoni. What is Tachkimoni? It's a only boys, only men, no women. And it was a co-education, not co-educational. In other words, they taught subjects, all kinds of subjects. In a yeshiva, they teach you only Gemara, Talmud, and Tanakh, or Hebrew subjects.
Right.
But this was everything. I studied I studied mathematics, and German, and Latin. You know, it was a
comprehensive,
nice school, but I decided not to be a rabbi.
Yeah.
So I went to Zelikman Gymnasium for 2 years, and then the last 2 years I went to Vilna. Vilna is a very popular educational town, many universities, and in Vilna 2 years, and after 2 years I applied to go to Israel in 1994.
Okay.
It wasn't Israel, it was Palestine.
Right.
And Technion was very difficult to get in. But there were riots in Israel. Marot, it's called. Marot, and they attacked passengers, people who highways who couldn't get through, and many students were afraid to go to Haifa.
Oh.
So, not that I was the best student. I was a good student.
Mm-hmm.
But not the best. They would not, if they wouldn't be the Marot, they wouldn't pick me. Haifa was a, like MIT, you know. But they accepted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there.
Mm-hmm. And you were a policeman there?
I applied Pisa, Italy, but what's his name? Duce. The Duce came into being, and he had to belong to a club, and this, and be a fascist. So I decided, no,
right.
I'll go to Haifa.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in Haifa for many years.
1934?
Until? Then I was getting short of money. I didn't want to ask my parents to send me money. I worked in the port as a stevedore.
Oh.
I used to load orange, you know, all ships that used to come in. They didn't have, like they have it, winches today. You know, you load them, put them on, and a winch lifts it up. I had to go aboard from the jetty to the ship. And many times, we landed in the water. Yeah, take over, yeah.
Joe, how did you get from Russia to Israel? How did you travel there?
That's a good question, very good. I went to Warsaw, Poland. I got all my papers there, my papers to go there. Then I went to Lviv, Lemberg, a city, Alina Preston. She was from that city. Then I went to Romania. I had to go to Romania, not that I was shaky. It was, anyway. I had to go to Bucharest and to Constanza, Black Sea. Mm-hmm. I went to Constanza. I boarded the ship Pilsudski, passenger ship, okay? Constanza is a port in the Black Sea. And from there, we went to Turkey, Constantinople. From there, we went to Haifa. We went to the Dardanelles, Tara, what do you call it, the Marmara Sea, the Marmara Sea. You know, the Mediterranean and the Black Sea are not leveled together. Are not leveled together, but the water, for some reason, does not flow from one higher space to another. It's a very interesting Marmara. I remember in Constantinople, we tried to buy a bottle of whiskey. You know, they came in a little boat, and that's the way they pulled up. They put it in a little basket, and we pulled up. We put the money. I'll never forget it.
So you took a ship from Constantinople out to the Adriatic, and then to
No Adriatic. Not you went to like to Greek islands, yes. Or something.
I mean the Aegean. The Aegean Sea, and then you from the Greek islands. You passed by the Greek islands and onto.
Yes, it didn't take long. You saw it on the Exodus, also from Cyprus, they would, right. Would come in. Anyway, when I came to Haifa, my sister was at work. I sat on the valise on Chova Chalutz. There was a grocery store, and she would buy groceries in that store. They told me so. So I sat there, I remember. When I got off the ship, the Pilsudski, two guys jumped at me, and they were finished high school with me. They came before me, you know, and they invited me already to a party, to Kiryat Chaim, Kiryat Motzkin, you know, there are three, I don't know how familiar are you with Israel, Mifratz Haifa, there were factories. There is a refinery. You go a little further to go to on the way to Akko, the prison mm-hmm. Akko.
We were there.
I stationed there. I became a policeman.
In Akko?
No, I became in Haifa, but
in Haifa.
They sent me all around.
Okay.
We went all around. We went after Kowachi, what's his name? He killed a farmer in the Emek Israel, and there was a Captain Cohen from Zichron Yaakov. He organized a band of 100 people that were British and me. And there we carried brain guns. At that time we used brain guns. And we went after the guy in the, it's called Up the Mountains. Emek Israel, I don't know if you know it. We had to go down Jenin. You heard the name Jenin?
Jenin,
an Arab city.
Mm-hmm.
You went there. Anyway, we caught the other guy too.
Mm-hmm.
There were two people. So one was tied up, I remember, with a chain to the British, you know, British. He yelled that we should not run away. And he brought us to the other friend who killed the peasant. He was in a car, a young man. You know, they got him and they hung. They had the British hung him.
Wow.
So this is the story. Now, I went to Technion for 2.5, maybe 3 years. I worked at night in Haifa port as a sabal. We have a sabal, it's a porter.
Oh, okay.
Porter, yeah, they do all kinds. I had to make a living. It was a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked with Arabs, so I learned the Arab language. Not literally, yeah, I could read or write or something, but I could
But you knew
it.
Enough.
Yeah,
you learned enough.
Because I was in charge. I was a foreman of a big depot. They transferred me, the British transferred me from the policeman, they put me to CID. What is CID? Criminal Investigation Department. I used operator on telephone, big, mm-hmm. big boxes. Mm-hmm. I had the end receiver, I could press a handle and to shut them off if someone talked to me on the phone. Or open up, I could listen. Okay. Oh, and then there was a call for volunteers to escort German prisoners from Egypt, Port Tufik. About maybe over 50 of Jewish guys. Mm-hmm. We volunteered and we went to Egypt and we joined the British unit and we escorted the prisoners from Port Tufik to Australia. We had to go through, it was before the war, Japan attacked December the 7th, and this was before, 4 or 5 months before. So we went to Columbus, Ceylon, I remember.
About what year was this? Can you tell me about when this was?
41.
1941,
okay. Yes, 41, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did it twice. We escorted 10,000 German prisoners, back and forth. What cities in Sydney we stopped? We stopped in Tasmania first. There was a big prison. We left off some there in Newcastle, Australia, Sydney, Adelaide. There's another city which doesn't come to me. And what did they do, the prisoners? They worked in the fields. How did we come back? We came back with the 9th Australian Divisions and they fought in North Africa. Mm-hmm. And then they also went through by train. They went to Lebanon and they took Lebanon and Syria. At that time, the Australians took it. Dayan, at that time, got shot, you know, because he was binocular with the, and the glass shined in the rifle of a Vichy soldier. The Vichy were in Lebanon and Syria, and they shot him right in the eye.
That's why he was wearing
in
that patch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dayan, the General Dayan, he was very, very good leader, good general. And
where were you when the Holocaust was when the Holocaust happened?
Poland and Belorussia was divided in two parts. The Germans took half of it and then they decided to take all of it. My parents lived in the section where they Now, the first half, they sent them to Auschwitz or other Buchenwald or the other, you know, concentration camps. But the other half, they didn't have a chance to send them. It was too much a burden for the Germans to send them by train again to Auschwitz. So one of my sisters dug a grave, not only she, all the Rozhanka people. Mm-hmm. They came into Rozhanka and they arrested all the Jews and they put them in line. They told them to dig graves and one of my sisters, she was pregnant. How do I know all these stories? It's a story in itself. When I came to America, I lived on Delaware Avenue.
When did you come here?
After the war?
No. I I worked on a boat on the tanker for 7 months.
About, yeah.
I sailed all over. I sailed Mediterranean to Abedin, I went to Iran, and I was to load in Abedin, in Basra, in Iraq. We used to load refined gasoline and take them to many other places that the company, Jarvis Company, where I worked on a tanker, 25,000.
Okay, but when you came, when did you come here to America?
I came here by with the tanker.
When?
When I came.
What year?
1948.
Okay.
When Israel became a state.
State, right.
Mm-hmm. While I was aboard ship, Israel became a state. When the United Nations decided Israel to become a state, I was in Haifa. I remember I was in Haifa. I used to go to Jerusalem, and we had to carry davitkas, you know, because the Arabs were after us. We had to be very careful.
So when you came to America, when did you come to Wilmington?
To Wilmington, they asked me when I came here. I stayed in New York. I was looking for a job, and some person told me there's a job in Newark, New Jersey. I went there. The Hudson Tubes. I took the Hudson Tubes. And I looked for a bus by name Osborne Terrace. So after I crossed the Hudson Tubes, I asked the driver, are you going to Mr. Berg, lived on Autumn Avenue. He said no. The second bus, I asked him, are you going to Osborne Terrace? Oh no, Terrace? He says no. The third one, he says no. All three buses I asked if they're going to Osborne Terrace. Then a man, you know, and I thought he might be Jewish, speak with an accent. I say, mister, which bus is going to Osborne Terrace? He says, the first one, and the second one, and the third, they all go to Osborne Terrace. When I came to Mr. Berg, he was the supervisor, he's supposed to hire me for a job. I asked him, Mr. Berg, how can they hold these three people, the buses? They didn't know. They didn't understand me. He said, Mr. Bayer, they're ignoramuses. They're ordinary persons. They know one language. If you don't say Osborne Terrace, they didn't know. But I said, how come the man, the Jewish person? He speaks like you.
So how'd you come?
I got a job.
Okay, I see.
I was a sportsman. I played tennis with them, I played basketball, I roller skated, I did everything, and I was the Hebrew teacher. I prepared them for bar mitzvah, too.
Okay.
Who came to visit me in this orphanage home? Pilch. Yehuda Pilch and Rudavsky. They were two educators of the Hebrew education there. They certified my... I think you should have a copy in the Bet Shalom.
I'll look for it.
Yeah, look for it.
Okay, I will.
I
only got a couple minutes left, Joe.
Only a couple minutes?
You got another tape?
No, I only have that one.
What other questions do you have?
Let me see.
Then Rabbi...
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, then I got married.
What year did you get married, Hart?
50.
Okay.
No, 49. Got married.
How did you meet Millie?
Yeah, I still taught in the orphanage for 1 year, well, after marriage. And who interviewed me? You know, Schnitzer had a brother, Shai,
yes. Mm-hmm.
in Mount Clair.
Yes.
Mount Clair. I think he interviewed me and he says, I'll see you Tuesday. This was Monday. The Rabbi Kreft came and says, I'll see you Friday. But then the Rabbi Kreft changed his mind and called me up and told me, I want to see you Monday, the first day before Montclair. So I went to there, and Phil Cohen was the president of this synagogue, and he interviewed me, and he said, what did you do in Israel? I said, I was a policeman. He said, you heard, no more questions. You're hired. And that's the way I wound it up.
So you became the policeman of the school.
Oh, yeah. Now, Young was running for attorney general. In class, I made a remark, and there were the two boys, the young Dr. Leon, not young, Dr. Levy, and two boys, they're doctors today, and they were in class, and they told the young, I think, they were related, they told the young that I talked against Albert Young, he's a Republican. I mentioned like in a derogatory manner, and they called a meeting about it. They wanted to fire me.
Okay, now I want you to tell. So how was the, it's going to be. Joe, what year were you born?
2/2/1914.
Okay, how many children do you have?
Two.
Who are they?
David and Carol. David is 57 years old. Carol is 51. Each one of them has two children. David has two daughters, and Carol has a boy and a girl, twins. They're twins.
That's perfect.